Today I want to talk about the reality of refueling. We refuel multiple times a day, in fact, many, many times a day. In some cases, it's pretty easy to notice when we need to refuel, but sometimes it's not so obvious. Occasionally, while I'm driving, I see people that are stranded on the side of the road, people who have run out of gas for their cars. So, right at the moment I was first thinking about this topic, the reality of refueling, I was feeling tired, and I felt like I was physically running out of gas. Because I had stayed up the night before till about 2 a.m. in the morning, I was hoping to find time to take the nap. That was really was a plan that I had. And so I thought of napping as a form of refueling, so my battery would get recharged, if I want to use another metaphor. So as I was running out of time in that afternoon, while I was thinking about this topic, we were going to go out later in the day, my wife Marianne and our niece Patricia, and we were planning on an afternoon movie or something, but because of my limited amount of time, I decided to exercise instead of take a nap. After 10 or 15 minutes, I felt much more energized after I exercised. And so, I thought, even going to the movies to be entertained is a form of refueling. The large glass of water that I drink multiple times a day, and I'm looking at it right now as I'm talking, is a form of refueling. The breakfast I ate earlier today was too. The coffee I drank this morning was also refueling. I thought of my iPad the other day, and as a result of that, I was wondering if it had run out of power, because I hadn't used it in a while. I wondered if the battery had run down. So, what I did is I turned it on to see, and if it had been dead, what I would have done is refueled it by plugging it into electrical power. That's how we recharge electrical devices. That's how we refuel them. You could say that the reason I turned on my iPad in the first place is I wanted to refuel it, not necessarily with electrical power, unless it needed it, but I wanted to download some information. I saw a notification in the mail of a magazine that I subscribed to, said I could download that magazine to my iPad. All I had to do was go through a couple of different steps to register with them as a paid subscriber. So I wanted to refuel my iPad with information. It's interesting to me, as I was doing that, I noticed on that cover of that magazine, it happened to be Fast Company, there was a picture of Serena Williams, the great tennis player. We recognize the two sisters, and there had the CEO of the Nike company, the sports apparel company, sneaker company, and they were wearing what was labeled Fuel Band. I'd never heard of this, so it was interesting. I'm thinking about and starting to take notes about the reality of refueling, and here are a couple of very well-known personalities wearing a device called the Fuel Band. I thought, I wonder what that is. So I Googled it, stopped what I was doing, Googled Fuel Band, and ended up on the Nike website reading about this device, which is something that you wear. It's kind of like a watch band looking thing, and it measures your body's activity throughout the day, what you're doing, how many steps you take, and I guess calories burned and other stuff. I thought, that's cool. I'll have to look at that in more detail. I like technical electronic type devices, and I also think devices that help us keep an eye on our own behaviors are usually important to us, and in fact will be a major market niche in the future. Huge, in fact. So I frequently talk about my energy model that includes these six major activities: energy acquisition, energy protection, energy translation, energy expression, energy release, and then closure. There's a business quote that says, if you measure it, you can manage it. And I think, you know, with a little bit of practice, you recognize that when we are mindful of what we do with our energy, how we spend our money, what we eat, what we drink, and we keep track of that stuff. We write it down every single time we do any one of those activities, even when we exercise, how long we exercise, how many push-ups we did, that sort of thing. We are going to be more mindful. We're going to be able to manage those energies better. We're going to be able to refuel more effectively. And I think it's when we practice mindfulness in our habits of energy exchange, we can also become, and this is really the important aspect of it, we can become at last aware of what signals trigger our normal energy exchange patterns. The triggers are not so obvious as we may think. A lot of people go, oh, I know when I'm hungry, I know when I'm thirsty, I know when I'm tired, I know when I'm this, and I know when I'm that, I know when I'm angry, and I'm no... It's like, don't be so sure about that. You might want to consider a couple more points here that I'm about to make. There was a physician, he's now deceased, nicknamed Dr. Water. He was a Persian, Iranian. His last name was Batman Gelich. So Dr. Batman Gelich became an expert in water after an unfortunate experience on the one hand, but a blessing on the other. After the Shah of Iran was overthrown, he was one of the haves in the country, and he was imprisoned. And this is where people who discovered that he was a doctor, other prisoners came to him with, I got this problem, I got that problem, I got another problem. He didn't have any kind of drugs, no medicine, no equipment. All he had was access to water. And he would say to them, well, drink this many glasses of water at this interval over the next this many days. And much to his surprise, they were coming back to him and going, you did a wonderful thing, doctor. I'm all better. I healed. The pain has gone away and so on. He was amazed. When he got to this country, he devoted more attention to the study of the impact of water on the body, that is, how we refuel using water and what happens when we don't refuel on a regular basis with water. And it was really fascinating to him. He takes this approach that oftentimes when we go, oh, I have a hunger signal, I need food, it's actually dehydration. We misinterpret it and believe it's a hunger thing where it's really, I need to refuel with water. He says the same thing about that mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the afternoon. I think I need a Snickers or I need a cigarette break or I need a cup of coffee. He goes, no you don't. What you need to do is refuel with water. And he goes on and on with people who get angry or irritable or anxious. First thing you want to do is consider you need to refuel with water because it is this dehydration on a cellular level that is now triggering all these different misemotions, anxiety, anger, sadness, depression, irritability, and on, that if you refueled with water, you'd be much more balanced and you'd be in a much better state to be able to deal with whatever you're dealing with at work or at home. He also thought that certain physical conditions didn't require medication like they would be advertised on TV, but in fact, stuff like asthma, acid reflux, high blood pressure were often due to dehydration, lack of electrolytes in the water. So hydrate, and he was a fan of using salt, not eliminating salt. He thinks these low-salt diets are part of the problem, they're not part of the solution. Now, I guess we're not really talking about the way American companies process salt. They cook it, bleach it, and do all kinds of things. So actually, the average table salt is not really a natural product at all. That's largely distorted, manufactured stuff. Real salt, Himalayan sea salt, Celtic sea salt, stuff that's natural, is a much better thing to be putting in your body. Like, why would we put synthetic stuff in our body? Why would we refuel with synthetics? And the body goes, what am I supposed to do with this? I've been around for a million years, and I am not familiar with this stuff. What do I do with it? And I think we can set in motion a whole series of physical malfunctionings. There's no doubt about it that water is one of the most miraculous and amazing substances on the earth, and maybe, for life, the single most important thing. And we would do well to refuel multiple times a day with good fresh water. And for those of you interested in it, you can look at YouTube, search on this title. It's a documentary, very high quality, Water-the Great Mystery. And it talks about the uniqueness of water, of all the substances on the planet. It will certainly give you a new respect for water, our need for water, and how water blesses us in so many different ways. Besides water, there's another thing that we would want to refuel with on a regular basis, and we do, but because we don't do it mindfully, I think the chances of us doing it effectively, kind of slim. In 1931, there was a Nobel Prize awarded to a physician who did some research, Otto Warburg. His medical discovery was that cancer cells only grow in oxygen-deprived environments. Plentiful oxygen in the body kills or inhibits cancer cell growth. So, you think we want to have enough oxygen in our body? Have plenty of water and have plenty of oxygen. The way we refuel oxygen content in the body and our cells is to breathe vigorously enough. Exercise, mindful breathing, other healthy habits like that, and the avoidance of, say, harmful habits like breathing in toxins, breathing in not clean air, are part of the effective refueling process that we need. I think this is going to be true in the future. This is my opinion, that research is going to show that smoking cigarettes didn't cause cancer. It's the lack of oxygen is what allowed the cancer cells to grow. If a person smoked cigarettes and did plenty of cardiovascular exercise, that is, they breathed enough oxygen in their lifestyle, they wouldn't develop cancer. I mean, the reality is that not everybody who smokes cigarettes gets cancer. So why do some and why don't others? I think it will be this hydration and oxygenation process that some people who are in a position to drink enough water and breathe vigorously enough are going to go, I have no difficulties. That's not the only way we refuel, although those are two of the standard greatest ways. Now, obviously, we'd want to eat decent food at regular intervals, move our bodies to facilitate not only the oxygenation, but to eliminate the waste products that will accumulate as a result of normal cell metabolism. But there are other ways that poisons get into us. Recently, I read a medical study that talked about the impact of violent video games on people playing those games. So in the study, what they did is they had multiple groups, some control, and obviously other people playing different kind of games, and then people playing violent games, and then they watched their interactions after the games were over. The people thought the games were the real test, but it was their interpersonal relationships right after these games that was the subject being studied. And these people who had been looking at the violent games were much more confrontational, conflict-oriented, in-your-face, aggressive as a result of playing those games. And it's like, yikes, wow. That shouldn't come as any surprise because the United States Army has been using violent video games in its recruiting efforts for the last 4 or 5 years. So now in some of their recruiting stations, their goal was to have these violent video games, have people come in and do the games and kind of get all warm and fuzzy. How's that for oxymoronic concept? Here, be violent and that would make you all warm and fuzzy. You'll really like the Army because we've given you an outlet for the aggression that you already had and we help stimulate the even lower depths. Yeah, that's a great thing. So they wanted to attract these aggressive types and also to stimulate it as a means to get them to join the Army. It was part of the recruiting deal. If you think about it, military combat training is designed to fuel aggression and the willingness to kill other people. If we can formulate images and give them to you to convince you that this other group of people are the enemy, and then because you have willingness now, oh, there's the enemy, I'm totally willing to attack and kill and destroy them, that's great, that's really great. And that fueling goes on in combat zones, war zones, but when those soldiers return home, they run into the problems. They now have to deal with what they saw, what they did, what they didn't do, what others didn't do when they had the chance, and things they should have done and should not have done. Now, all the problems that are associated with that training and all those experiences start to manifest in those veterans and in their families. I think that's a refueling problem. What do we do now? What do we do now? The next time you watch a television news program that results in a change of emotion, you know, you sit down, oh, I think I'm just going to relax. And you watch that and you realize, man, I didn't relax. Just the opposite. You recognize this. You just got refueled. I don't usually watch news programs, but a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what? I'm always complaining about it and criticizing and judging it and stuff. Not the best thing to do. But why don't I watch it and see if I can establish a pattern? See if I can discover how they structure news that causes people to want to watch that stuff over and over again. So I watched a local Florida station. I think it was one of the main channels, ABC, CBS, or NBC. I don't recall which. And because it was a few years ago, the details are a little bit fuzzy. But I do remember that I saw a pattern. The station was mingling stories. They would have local crime stories, which would excite fear and anger at the perpetrators. Then they would show some sort of medical success story, maybe not to this extreme, where like, oh, they had a surgical success where they, they operated on a two-headed monkey and now it's only got one head and it's going to live happily ever after in a zoo, you know, something like that. And then there were depressing stories of local or national import, or even international import, that said, here's a problem that's absolutely intractable. There's nothing that can be done about it. Here, we're delivering this to you, and now you're probably depressed by that. And then they would do something else and go to some example of injustice that occurred, and outrage, and some local citizen really irate about, to fill in the blank, you know, global warming, or the myth of global warming, or the myth of global warming, or ranting and raving about some sort of condition. And then they pass that off, and then perhaps there's a feel-good story about, oh, these two people had lost the contact with themselves, you know, 100 years ago, and they just reconnected, and oh, isn't this mushy, and this is just wonderful, and okay, let's come back to crime, and let's go back to fear, and now we're going to interrupt that for advertising. Not only are we being refueled by these media giants, we're being manipulated by them. And you already know, I mean, that's the purpose of advertising, right? It's not to educate us. It's the advertising we're watching, we see on TV and between shows, and is designed to influence us. We're being injected with consciousness forms. Just like somebody walked up with a syringe, stuck it in our arm, and pushed on the plunger. We're being injected with consciousness forms that if we give them an opportunity, we practice a little bit doing the same thing, watching the 6 o'clock news every single night. Those consciousness forms are going to grow strong enough to influence our thinking, our feeling, our speaking, and our acting. The main ways we refuel is with our thinking, feeling, speaking to ourselves and others, and our behaviors. And if somebody else can control those, somebody else can influence them, guide us to do what's in their self-interest rather than our self-interest, we've been refueled much to our disadvantage. McDonald's, for instance, And I don't mean to pick on them, but they're obviously a well-known name, and any other advertiser for that matter. They're not just interested in educating us on their product line and the newest big thing or little thing or low-calorie thing or high-calorie thing. It's not about education only. They want us to be compelled by the images they are providing and inserting, injecting into us. And the ones we allow, we take them in through our eyes and our ears to buy their products. That's what they want. Not about education. It's to guide us to buy their products. Said another way, the images in their ads are like Trojan horses. So these images get inside of us. They get past the barriers of our thinking and our self-interest. And then pretty soon, we're wound up. And those Trojan horses, those images, take over our behaviors and drive us to a McDonald's location or Burger King or Wendy's or somebody else's location. We refuel our body. We refuel all four of our bodies. We refuel our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, and our spiritual body. Just think of this for a moment. How we refuel our four bodies will directly affect the conditions of those four bodies. These bodies seem to be different dimensions or phases of one another. It's not like we're walking around with four different bodies and we have to put clothing on four different bodies. But in fact, I talk about these as if they're separate for us to visualize them. But I think maybe a better way to look at this would be they're four overlapping but different rates of vibration in each of those bodies. As we lower the vibrational rate, the frequencies of one body, it drags all of them down. As we raise it in any one of them, it raises the vibrational frequency of all of those bodies. So it's like, they seem to be separate, but they are equal. They're just different phases of the same thing. That makes more sense to me. What we feed ourselves physically affects us in other ways than just physical, right? You know that. Sometimes, now I don't feel so resilient emotionally, or I'm not so quick mentally. Nobody suspects for a second that drinking 6 or 8, 10 martinis physically is not going to affect us mentally or emotionally. It certainly will. The same is true when we feed ourselves emotionally and mentally. That fuel can affect everything about our lives, for better or for worse. In the book, Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, Christ claims that our media, television, movies, those industries, newspapers, magazines, etc., publishing, they are poisoning the consciousnesses of people who use and allow that media to affect them. Destructive images of violence and cruelty and wanton sex and depravity. All of that stuff is screaming, pouring, bubbling, rushing out of TV screens every night into the homes, minds, and hearts of people who are sitting there watching it thinking this is entertainment. In America, we then scratch our heads the next day and we wonder why is there such violence and cruelty in our streets? You know, why is there mass killings in elementary schools and high schools and college campuses and street corners? And why is that? The violence in our streets is a symptom of the violence that these consciousness forms that we allow to be planted in our hearts and our minds. Violence in the street is a symptom. The fuel we insist upon taking in is literally killing us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I refuel with music. Since I don't cook, Marianne does all the cooking in the house. Doing the dishes and cleaning up after a meal, that's my job. Almost always, I turn on music with a fast beat to use to pace myself as I'm washing the dishes and cleaning the counter, cleaning the table and so on, putting away food or leftovers. I like how this music energizes me. It helps me to turn a chore into a music hyphen dance kind of thing, a kind of a concert experience, night after night. It's fun. I refuel myself with the purpose of having fun as I'm doing this. On an average day, this is how I start myself refueling in the morning. Number one, first thing I do is I pray before I get out of bed. I use the prayer from letter 8, which is how I end the service today and every other day. That prayer from letter 8 from Christ Returns to Me is so wonderful. That's also how I end the evening. I speak that aloud at night before Marianne falls asleep, and then I start to read Christ Returns before turning out the light. I also, after getting out of bed, take care of some basic personal hygiene activities, going to the bathroom, washing up, brushing teeth, that sort of thing. And then I sit down to do the healing codes and the emotional freedom technique. I drink coffee. During that process, I share a banana with my puppy, Nikki. She and I go back and forth with a banana. And then I journal for 60 to 30, well, how about, I say 30 minutes. Marianne says, not hardly. It'll be at least 30 and probably closer to 60 minutes. And then I'll have some cottage cheese, which Nikki will insist upon having some of as well. Then I'm going to go into the garage with Nikki and going to exercise. For her, exercise is having four treats. For me, exercise is exercise. So she's eager to exercise every morning, as you can imagine. And then I come back and then I meditate for, I'll say, 12 to 18 minutes. Just sitting quietly, feet on the floor, hands on my lap, eyes closed, gaze slightly, trying to feel myself being a part of my source of being around me and within me. And after that, I go to work. By that time, though, after doing those balancing things, you know, I am in balance. I'm feeling good about myself, feeling good about life, feeling good about other people, and looking forward to seeing what I can do to help other people have a similar experience. Interesting to me, the way some of this stuff falls into place, but you know, when you're aligned to it, they look like synchronicities as compared to coincidences. I subscribe to an evangelical Christian magazine called Sojourners that was recommended to me by one of our coaches. Their byline is Faith in Action for Social Justice. That's the part I like. On the cover of the new issue that just arrived the other day, March 2013 issue, and here it is the middle of February. Is the story of finding God in the depths of silence, talking about meditating in quiet and then being able to make that connection. And I think, and they would indicate this as well in that article, and I'm looking forward to reading it in depth, is that all spiritual approaches on the planet seem to have the idea within it of increasing a personal connection to that creative power, God, the source of our being, divine consciousness, Yahweh, however you want to see that, has silence in it. Silence to allow the influence of that intelligence greater than our own to penetrate our field, our individuality, our beingness. From 1972 to 1980, I practiced transcendental meditation. It was a great way to refuel, but in 1980, I started doing other spiritual studies and stopped meditating. For the last 15 years, I've used emotional freedom technique and tapas acupressure technique, and for the last 11 years, the healing codes to remove resistance to my connection to divine consciousness. That is, I wanted to make myself be able to refuel more easily, more effortlessly. And to my great joy, since October 14, 2010, I've been studying Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth, almost nightly to elevate my consciousness and my awareness of the divine connection. So my non-connection with the divine is not, the divine is not busy working, is not doing what it's capable of doing, is not doing what it wants to do. My problem, and I think this is the human problem, is my consciousness is limited, and I'm trying to expand it to make this refueling possible moment by moment, not just periodically when I sit down to pray or to meditate, but constantly to be able to stay in contact with that energy. And I think when you read Christ Returns and Jesus refers to going out into the hills to be by themselves so he can reestablish a deeper contact with the divine, it's like, yeah, I get it. He did it. We do it. All gurus, all yogis, all spiritual masters did that same thing. I am convinced that the true refueling, despite all the advertising we're going to see about drugs and Snickers and alcohol and cigarettes and whatever else they tell us we need, the true refueling that we need is spiritual refueling. And by taking time to pray, by taking time to open up to the source of our being, however we individually conceive of that power, to reach out in thought and feeling to that power and ask for help, ask for awareness, ask for insight, ask for answers to questions, solutions to problems, means to deal with challenges. That, to me, is the name of the game. That doesn't involve religion, as far as I'm concerned, although I suppose if you can use a religion to accomplish that, good for you. But this is about you connecting to your source. Nobody in between. Nobody in between marketing stuff or controlling what you can think and what you can believe and what you can do and what you can have and what you can say. None of that. You connecting to your source. To me, these practices offer the greatest opportunities for us to refuel our bodies, get back into balance, and get on with effectively living our lives' purpose. I think this simple but straightforward and important question, how do we refuel, can be answered with a little bit of practical advice. And here's my attempt. We refuel first by establishing a connection, a pipeline, with whatever it is we want. We do that with attention. We put our attention on anything, on a person, on a concept, on a thing, on a goal, on whatever it is. When we connect attentionally with something, we have established a pipeline between us and it energetically. The second thing after attention we do is we set intention. Setting our intention is kind of like determining the quality and the quantity we want to flow between us and the object of our attention. We establish that. And then I think we literally make a decision. Capital D, decision. And that's like opening the valve and sending the energy forth from us. Oftentimes it seems like, oh, I gotta get. But if the concept of we reap what we sow, sowing comes first. So giving, sending forth, radiating, broadcasting, transmitting, speaking, initiating is what we'd want to start with. As it raises this energy, as it radiates out from us, we are instantly being refueled with that same energy form, but perhaps in greater quantity and greater concentration of vibration. So if it's love going out, what's coming to us is a greater volume of love than we just expressed, and a greater intensity, a greater higher vibration, if you will, of love. The flip side is the same. So people who understand this reality of refueling, they're not surprised. Like, hey, I'm not surprised when I broadcast love, I broadcast admiration, I broadcast kindness or respect to anything in my environment, and I feel good. I feel good about it. It's like that comes right back. Almost instantaneous good feelings when we start broadcasting that sort of thing. But people who aren't so aware don't understand that. Projecting unkindness or rejection toward other people results in their own debilitated physical or emotional or mental states. Like, oh, I don't feel so good. I hated him. I don't feel so good. No kidding. You just toxified the water of which your body consists maybe to 75 to 85%. Like, yeah. We reap what we sow. Our harvest is the reality of refueling. It's like, That's why our awareness of our sowing is so important to our health, to our happiness. We reap what we sow. The harvest is how we refuel. And our choices about that dramatically impacts our lives, and frankly, the lives of other people all around us. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.